guys, this is Austin.
And John.
And welcome to another episode of the Meatgistics podcast. I love days where we start out with meat already sitting in front of us.
Yes.
I can smell it and I want to dig in. It always scares me though when you cook, just because I don't know what crazy experiment you've done. So I don't know if these are normal ribs.
No, nothing too crazy here. These are just some beef riblets that I got from Walmart. They were like $4 each for a pack of two. Super inexpensive, and wanted to test them out on the Vertical Camp Chef. So one of them I did in Excalibur's new Nashville hot. The other one is the sweet chipotle lime rub, or maybe just sweet chipotle rub. They're both new from Excalibur. The sweet chipotle one we've done on pork for pulled pork before. Awesome. Absolutely great. Don't know about these ribs. They look amazing. And then I glazed one out of the two each with the Captain Rodney's original Boucan.
Oh, yeah.
Like 20 minutes before we took them out. So I would say the first thing we have to do is a taste test. So I don't know if you want to, which one you want to do first. This is sweet chipotle. This is Nashville hot.
I have no preference.
All right. We'll just grab something and start eating. Then we'll talk about it.
The Nashville hot is actually really good. I wouldn't expect. Yeah, I had.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that to be something I would use on a rib.
Uh huh.
But that is definitely a winner.
Oh wow! It's just as good without the glaze. Huh. The glaze added a little bit of sweetness, but all right. Now let's try. Well, nope, that's the wrong size. You know, to put that back. Now let's try the sweet chipotle lime.
Okay.
Maybe not lime, maybe just sweet chipotle. That's better.
Yeah, that is amazing. I made sure to pick one without the glaze to start with, and it's phenomenal.
Yep.
I also like it more because it does taste a little more salty.
Yeah.
And I love salt.
For sure, yeah. The Nashville hot wasn't, I wouldn't call that hot, but I am taking the largest rib with the glaze on it because I cooked them. Oh, yeah, that's the stuff.
Can we make the podcast just all about watching or letting people watch us eat and listen to us eat?
Careful there. I'm sure that's somebody's thing. Wow.
Normally, I hate ribs because they're so messy. And these definitely are messy, the ones with the glaze. It's I can feel it. I don't know if I look like I have stuff all over my mouth.
A little bit. Not bad.
But definitely on my hands. But this is worth it. Ribs have to be really good for me to just be like, yeah, I like this. I'm going to eat it. I would do it again because I hate mess. I don't like messes. But this is worth every bit.
Whew. Oh, that's good. All right. So if you were ranking them, how would you go?
The sweet chipotle lime is better than the Nashville hot.
Okay.
I would eat them without the extra sauce and glaze. Just because of the messiness, and I think just by themselves, the seasonings are great. The sauce does probably make it better. I would say not enough better for me to want to deal with that extra mess. I know everything I consider on ribs goes back to how messy it is, but
I would say definitely the Excalibur sweet chipotle. I think it is sweet chipotle lime.
Yeah.
It's a new seasoning from them. I don't even know if it's on the website yet. But, I mean, these are $4 for, I mean, they're small. They're not big, but whatever. It's a great way to make a delicious meal for 10 bucks.
So you bought two packs then?
They were like $4 each. So each one had two riblets in it.
Okay.
All right. So let's start out with the meat news on some positive stuff, because I'm going to warn you, there's a shortness of positive stuff and there's some things I'm going to rant on.
Is this going to turn into the Black Pill episode version 2?
No, that's going to be a sunny day in May versus what I'm about to do.
Huh, great.
Not really. All right. So the first thing is I've been reading a bunch of blog posts, quote unquote recipes from like some well-known chefs who all recently seem to be either coming around to the fact or finally willing to share the fact that they always put their steaks on the grill, in the oven, whatever they're doing when it's they're really cold. I have
really
always let it come up somewhat to temp for at least 5-10 minutes, but apparently not at all. Get it right from a cold fridge right into the oven. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have one day that's going to be a really good day, because I'm going to go buy a couple of steaks and we're going to try a bunch of different ways.
That'd be interesting, because yeah, I almost always, especially since I know it's beef, I mean, beef is going to be in theory safer than like poultry or something. Cook chicken, I'm not going to let it sit out for a while, but cooking beef, cooking steak, I mean, I pull it out of the fridge a lot of times an hour or two before I'm cooking. Like the first thing I'm doing when I'm getting ready mm-hmm. is I pull that out and then I go get other stuff ready. If I'm cooking something else with it, usually potatoes or something, I'm preparing that, make an extra salad, whatever I'm doing with dinner. Then I go get the grill ready. Then I usually forget about the grill for half an hour and then I finally put steaks on. So if it's really better to start out with it cold,
yeah,
that's going to change how I cook for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I've always argued you bring it out of the fridge, get your seasoning on it and let it sit for just a little bit of time. One, it lets the seasoning kind of, especially the salt, get into the meat a little mm-hmm. bit more. And I was always taught to let them come up to not room temp, but let them warm up a little bit. So we're going to try a few different things. The one I'm most excited for, and this is something that someone told me a long time ago, is right from the freezer, right onto the grill. So not the fridge, but the freezer, like a frozen steak right onto the grill. They say by the time the center is where you want it, the outside's like perfect. So we'll find out.
That's interesting.
Yeah, we'll find out. So, I mean, that I think is pretty cool. Speaking of pretty cool, this is another one. This kind of goes back to something we've talked about in the past, which is food fraud. We were talking once about how the mafia in Italy basically controls the olive oil and the Parmesan cheese exports, and like most of it's fake. Then we talked about the people who got their hands on a USDA prime stamp and just went around stamping everything. So there is a new thing. It's called a mass spec pen, which I'm obviously assuming is short for mass spectrometer. But it's a pen that can verify if food product is what it says it is. It's just a little pen that you basically touch to it. It does it almost instantly, and then you can still sell that cut of steak. Like in the past, if they wanted to use like a mass spectrometer or something, whatever sample they take mm-hmm. is gone. This is just touch it, and it will read out telling you what the makeup of that piece of meat is.
Man, I just see so many uses for that, because I mean, I have so much problem with someone trying to pass off a piece of chicken as steak. No, I'm kidding. I do see some usage for it.
Well, it's not helpful for us. It's helpful in the food industry. I mean, if they wanted to get real careful with it, it could take days or weeks for the old style to come through and to verify, yep, that's good, this is good. So hopefully this will make the food inspection process a little bit shorter.
Yeah, one of the examples I saw in the article, they said was to detect when people replace beef with horse meat. Mm-hmm. That is interesting, because I on something like that, I'm like, okay, horse meat really isn't readily available. And it's not something that if you were in a USDA plant, I don't know how you're going to get that around your inspector and how you're going to harvest some horses.
Yeah, I have no idea how that would happen.
I don't know.
But I'm sure we've all eaten horse of some kind or another, like in a hot dog or.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm sure. I would bet. So I'll take it back. I'm not sure. Can't stop eating this.
I don't know if it's that prevalent. Do you know when they stopped horse slaughter in the U.S.? I wish I knew that.
I'm pretty sure it's like the late 18s, early 1900s. It's a long time ago.
Was that long ago?
Yeah. I think. I say that real confidently, but I shouldn't because I'm not sure. That is what you're looking up right now?
2007.
What?
Yeah.
For slaughter?
Yep. It says...
Whoa, we served horse meat in the U.S. as soon as... Or as early as 2007. Sorry, as late as?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it was very prevalent at that point. And I'm trusting the first thing that pulled up on Google. Let's see. I don't know. I may have to come back to this another time. Because I don't think it was a big thing. Right. There was...
All right, so we're going to say it was 1807, so that we're both kind of right there.
Sure.
All right, so one of the things we've been talking about recently, I think we talked about on the last podcast and on a recent live stream, was I have been taking shrimp, frozen shrimp, let it defrost a little bit, fake crab meat, couple other ingredients, and making like a butter French wine sauce in a cast iron pan on the side sear box of my Woodwind grill. Absolutely loving it. So when I saw that there is a new company coming out that's going to do like a fake shrimp, I got super excited for a couple of reasons. Because one, part of what I like about the fake crab meat is that it is super cheap. When you get a big bag of it for like $5, sometimes yeah. $4. Two, I just like the taste of it. Now, I had always heard and never bothered to do any checkup on this, was that is made from either a fish called a skate or a shark. Like, that's always what I'd heard. Apparently, that's not true. And this shocked me, and I don't know how I feel about it, like worse or better. But so the fake shrimp is going to be made. It's being made out of seaweed and plant proteins. It's backed by Tyson. So there's serious money behind it. So now that is being made with or by something called surimi, which is apparently like an old Japanese thing. They've been doing it for a long time in Japan. But it's minced whitefish, which makes me concerned because you know you're not getting like the prime bits of whitefish in there. And then they add sugar, salt, fish oil, and cornstarch.
Interesting.
For whatever reason, and obviously I didn't understand something, I thought like a skate has almost like a flounder shape to it, kind of. I thought it was just basically like a die went through and like punched through, and that it was just that meat, just it wasn't real crab. But no, it's a totally broken down and then formed product.
It's weird. Skate fish look weird.
Yeah, they're strange looking.
Yeah.
So skates and sharks are like real closely related.
Like now, are you saying shark?
Yep, shark. Huh. Skates and sharks. Now, I do know that places have gotten in trouble, seafood restaurants, for passing off skate as scallops. Mm. And they will do that. They take a die and they punch through it. So you get like the shape of a scallop, but it's not a scallop. I mean, I love that stuff. So I'm sure I'm going to like this fake fish or fake shrimp. I also, and I don't even know if I should tell people this. I like this product called Veggie Crumbles. It's
what the heck is that?
Morningstar makes it.
Okay.
It's like ground beef, just with no beef. My wife used to get it all the time when she was full vegetarian, and I liked it. Huh. But I'm not very hard to please, like in the food department. I like most things. As long as it's not mashed potatoes or a cooked vegetable of any kind.
Like any cooked vegetables.
The only cooked vegetable I like at all is occasionally my wife will do this thing with broccoli where she puts like lemon, garlic, olive oil, and that Lowry's salt.
That is really strange. I didn't know that. I knew the mashed potatoes. I already knew you were crazy for that because mashed potatoes is one of the greatest foods on the face of the planet.
No.
But cooked vegetables. I didn't see that because, I mean,
we don't do many.
Over the years, I've seen you eat healthy and non-healthy. And when you eat healthy, it seems like you eat a lot of vegetables, but you eat them like all raw.
Raw
That's
vegetables.
Crazy.
As soon as you cook a vegetable, I like it a lot less. Absolutely. I eat carrots probably too much sometimes, but I will not touch a cooked carrot. Now, this all goes along. So you're going to have to follow me here, but we're about to go deep down the rabbit hole in my mind. In my mind, vegetables better before cooked. Cake, batter, 100% over cake. Not with the frosting and everything, just the cake, right?
Okay.
Follow me. Brownie batter. Oh, brownies me. you know, like they're all right. But again, unless you put some sort of frosting on, they're not amazing. So how bad are we screwing up meat by cooking it? Like, how much better must it be raw?
You know, I think there's a way to figure that out.
Yeah, we just have to get, like, go to Yoder's or something, watch them slaughter and go, give me that piece.
Or just, I mean, if yeah, just take a really large cut, mm-hmm. trim off all the edges so you get just the inside part of it. And in theory, it's going to be totally safe.
Yeah, I'll 100% do that.
I don't know if it would hold true, but at least with fish, how you can eat like raw sushi and stuff is they freeze it. Super. It gets so cold for a certain amount of time. It's like the reverse of Appendix A, basically, and it kills off any bad bacteria and parasites.
It's a parasite there. They're worried about with sushi, right?
Yeah.
Because I went on a deep sea, we probably just out of sight of the shore in North Carolina. And we were catching mackerel for bait. And he was cutting them out. And he goes, you know, joking around. He's like, does anyone want sushi? And I don't know how old I was. I was fairly young. I'm like, yeah, I'll have some. And the kid looked at me like, are you an idiot? And I looked at the captain. The captain's like, no. It's like, those things are lousy with parasites. And that's what I found out. You had to freeze them.
Nice.
But yeah, everything is better before you cook it. With me or against me on that?
A lot of things are. I mean, what about like bread? So you're gonna you like the dough better than the bread?
I don't at all. That's fair. That's a fair one. Plus, I don't like steaks as much if they don't have like nice sear marks and that mired effect.
Yeah.
So meat might not be in this one.
Maybe you could fix that by taking your example from earlier on steaks. Take a frozen steak,
okay,
and sear the outside. Do it at like 700,000-800,000 degrees, something crazy.
Okay.
Sear the outside, get the nice little mired effect and get a nice little crispy crunch on it. Get your grill marks and the inside still only be 60 degrees if you do it fast enough. You gotta do it real fast though.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're basically talking about a regular steak because the outside gets cooked up to whatever degrees and the inside is a lot cooler.
Well, regular steak, I mean, the inside still usually gets cooked up to 130, 140.
Well, definitely not 140.
Okay. For us normal people that eat like medium is the perfect point of a steak, and that's about 135.
135 is medium for sure. Anything below that is where we start talking about like a quality steak. I pull mine off the, like for reverse here, I pull them at 118, then cook them till they're about 124, and I let them sit for a couple of minutes. It's going to continue cooking. I've never gotten sick.
Let's just do part of the steak deal where we only cook it to like 90 degrees on the internal. Then
I'll do that.
What we need to go look and see at what point will heat start breaking down something. We shouldn't have an issue if it's 100 degrees or less because body temperature of an animal is going to be that high.
Right.
So we probably could do it at that point and it would basically be just like it would be totally raw. Like you went out to the field, grabbed a handful of cow, threw it in your mouth.
Well, the other things I was thinking we could do is get a thick cut, hit the outside with like a blowtorch. So we're sure that anything's good. Well, I mean, the fear is like very little bacteria, if any, lives inside the muscle. It's all on the outside. So you can't get to that inside without cutting the outside. As soon as you pass a knife through that meat, you're taking anything that was on the outside and you're putting it inside the muscle. Yeah. You can try to be as clean as possible, but you're going to transfer some internally. Hitting it with a blowtorch real quick kills anything on the outside and then allows you to cut away to the inside so we can do this test.
We just need a whole prime rib.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Freeze it.
I'll go ahead and order one.
I kind of like this idea.
No?
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
We're going to have to do something here, though.
All right. So on to the not so, so great stuff. First is there's a report that came out that said 10.2%, 1 in 10 of all restaurants in the United States has permanently closed during the COVID pandemic. And that just absolutely breaks my heart. I'm not somebody that goes out to eat a lot, but I did kind of grow up working in restaurants. I've worked in 3 or 4 of them. Know people who own them. And it's a great environment for a young person to learn a lot about how the world works. When I was in college, I worked at a restaurant, this small little Italian place in New York called Figlamini's. And every night I would leave there with $100 in tips because it was super nice to everybody. I paid attention and I just did my job. Like that taught me like, okay, so you can make good money as long as you're willing to subservience the wrong, to serve somebody, to put somebody else's needs ahead of yours and maintain a professionalism, but also be super nice.
Yeah.
So it just breaks my heart. Plus the owners, everybody who works in the kitchen. I mean, a small restaurant might employ 7 people with full-time jobs, all gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that number came out to 77,000 permanently closed. Then there was an additional 15% that were closed at some point but did reopen. And then they go through in the article and they list a bunch of like who did better, who did worse, but whatever. It's not necessary for what we're talking about.
I don't know. I looked at that and I thought some of it was interesting.
All right, go ahead.
Just because for whatever reason, French cuisine was the highest.
The worst. Yeah, it did the worst.
But barbecue was actually in one of the top categories, which is strange. But then burger spots were the lowest.
Yeah, they did best. And that makes sense, I guess, because a burger spot, probably easiest to do just takeout. French cuisine, incredibly hard to switch. I don't know what you know about French cuisine, but a lot of it is like the experience of like at the table, you know, your waiter is always dressed super nice. The food has to be at the correct temperature before it starts breaking down. Like duck, they'll do a lot of duck. Have you ever eaten cold duck? So duck a la rancha, or however it's said, I might be mispronouncing that. Awesome. As soon as it starts getting cold and the duck fat starts congealing, it's like, get that away from me. It looks terrible.
Interesting.
In Colorado, there's an initiative coming out that is going to try to make all sorts of changes to animal husbandry, which, listen, I'm all for protecting animals, making sure that we're not being needlessly cruel, making sure that their living conditions are acceptable. I just think this is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. One of the things I saw in there that really jumped out at me was artificial insemination would become,
a sex act on an animal.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you that you see that happening and think that that is a sex act? That is a sign of a diseased mind in my mind. It's the same thing as like, I can't say that. God, I hate this.
Is it any different than two human beings that can't have kids for whatever reason? The husband or wife is infertile. And they do like in vitro.
Their argument would be consent, but the animal is not consenting to it. That would be their argument. I'm not saying I agree with it or disagree with it, but that would be their argument.
The animals aren't human beings. In that case, you'd have to give them citizenship. You'd have to make them equals with us, which is probably what they want to do.
You're so close-minded.
Yeah.
They're just as important as us. A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. Do you remember that? Mm-mm. Oh, that was being pushed when I was growing up. I listened to this awesome audiobook once with my mom and I were driving across New York for something, and it was 100 people who are destroying America. Now, it was 100% from like a right wing's perspective. So it's not fair. It's not like it was balanced in any way. It was all just left wing people. But that was one of them. They were talking about how they were trying to push PETA, a rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy, trying to convince people that there is no difference, that all those lives matter equally.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That is absolutely crazy. And for those people who think that, I want you to take a good long look in the mirror and realize that if you're a vegetarian because you have an ethical problem with killing to eat, you're killing way more animals than I am. Your factory farming is slaughters, voles, all sorts of rabbits, cute little furry rabbits.
I think some of it ultimately comes down to people's larger worldview on things. And that can get into a even bigger and hairier discussion mm-hmm. on things, because I mean, it's my belief that God created the world and he put animals and vegetation here all for us to eat. We can eat whatever we want. But those people that don't believe in that, I mean, they technically are no different than an animal in my mind.
Oh,
no different than a plant, no different than a tree, no different than honestly dirt, because you're no different than anything, because everything all comes from just subatomic particles that are all the same. So
you're granting them how they look at the world and think about it. You're allowing that to differentiate them from everyone else. So if they think that that's true to you, that is true for them. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could.
It's a really interesting way to look at it. I've never thought of that before.
I could definitely see how it is true for them.
You're being very inclusive there. You are accepting of their beliefs and you're applying that to them.
I see how people can come to that argument. I still think it's crazy, but I see how people come up with the idea. The problem is that if you really took that to the extreme, you wouldn't be able to, in my opinion, you wouldn't even be able to manufacture any type of product because you would be taking one substance and doing something to it without its consent. Who's to say that that a tree does not have some sort of mindfulness to it?
It's just because they
who's to say that dirt doesn't?
Nope. If trees were Ents from J.R.R. Tolkien and they like walked around, that would completely change everyone's view on it. It's just because they don't move that people don't see them as sentient beings.
But then if you also take that perspective that animals are equal to us, mm-hmm. You also have to then take into account that we ourselves are worth nothing. So what is...
Yeah, it's
what
nihilistic.
What is stopping anyone from hurting another?
Where is
the line of morality? Where does it start and stop? Because we artificially are saying that something's worth more than another, when in reality, there is nothing that's worth more than another. That's where, for me, I can see how they can get to some of that viewpoint, mm-hmm. but they don't go far enough with it if that's how they want to interpret things. The only way to actually interpret it and say that there are things with more value than others is to believe in something greater. I personally am a Christian. I believe in God, but you have to have some sort of greater belief to believe that something is greater than another thing.
But I do also think there's plenty of atheists out there who have a well-defined structure of how they look at the world. I agree. I have a belief in God, but I don't think that necessarily, and boy, we've gone way off the topic here.
Yeah.
We'll bring it back in a second. But I don't think that's necessarily what gives them the correct worldview. Like Sargon of Akkad of the Lotus Eaters podcast. Never heard of it?
No.
Atheist, but like super has his worldview very organized. Like he's obviously spent time thinking out these different problems and theories that you were just discussing. So, all right, sorry, away from religion. All right, but another thing it would do is it would prevent anyone from slaughtering an animal that has not yet lived one quarter of its expected lifespan. Bye-bye veal.
Yeah.
I'm going to go eat all the veal I can right on the Colorado border when that happens. I'm just going to set up a restaurant that sells just veal. Call it just veal. And if you come in and you have a Colorado license and we don't know, I'm sorry. Get back in here. I'm Colorado is gorgeous. At all the states I've visited, it is up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, the Rockies are dramatic. Even the plains are pretty cool because they're hills leading up to that. But they've got some not good things going on right now.
What's crazy is Colorado didn't used to be as
like
crazy
that.
As they yep. are now. Yep. There's been a massive shift in the last 10, 20 years. People moving in from elsewhere. A lot of the cities and stuff have been growing and they just taken over the voice and opinion from the rest of the state there.
So to go off meat processing again, what do you feel about Colorado's decision to legalize marijuana?
Oh, my own personal belief and what I think should be legal are two separate and very different things.
Okay.
Personally, I don't think that you probably should smoke or use marijuana. I think it kind of is similar to alcohol, other drugs. If you're going to do it or use it, it somehow needs to be regulated because someone using it can very potentially hurt someone else.
Oh, of course. It's like drinking and driving.
Yep. If you're high and you are in a car and you crash into someone, you're infringing on their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That being said, I don't think that the government should say you can't smoke pot. I don't think that that's their right. I think it's everyone's right to choose whether they want to or not. I just think the scenario needs to be limited.
Okay, but it is still illegal for them to operate a motor vehicle under the influence of marijuana.
Yeah, that
so it is that same
legal,
thing, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, they did that, right? Personally, I don't know. I guess I'm a libertarian now because just the war on drugs has done nothing. Like, we have not done really any good there except putting a ton of people in prison who probably would have been better off with therapy.
Yeah, the biggest thing you can do for drugs and alcohol is rehab, therapy and rehab.
100%. Making it illegal, making them somebody who's addicted and is going to go and get their drugs no matter what. All you do by making it illegal is A, make them a criminal, B, make them interact with a dangerous part of society.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I know it's been said tons of times, but the war on drugs is over and drugs won. It's like Super Bowl is 44-0. It's like the old NFC kicking the AFC's butt in the Super Bowl. So, all right. Again, we'll try and steer it back to meat processing. But I want to read this. There was a study in the United Kingdom saying that not only does leading to meat or eating meat lead to some cancers, but it's like triples your chances of colon cancer or something like that. We've talked about studies like this in the past, so I just want to read their methodology and then we'll talk about it. So it says, we use data from over 475,000 middle-aged adults recruited in the UK biobank study between 2006 and 2010 and followed up until 2017 with available information on meat intake at baseline collected via touch screen questionnaire and linked hospital admissions and mortality data. For a large subsample, 69,000, dietary intakes were remeasured three or more times using an online 24-hour recall questionnaire. These studies are useless. You're asking these people to just be honest with you and put whatever they have eaten. You're also not looking at external factors like, do they smoke? Do they drink? Mm-hmm. Do they do drugs? Where did they eat that burger? Did they get it from McDonald's or did they get it from, you know, a restaurant that's serving 100% grass-fed? I almost feel like these studies should, I don't want to say be made illegal, but you're putting that information out there. There are so many people in America who only read the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not a fair way to do it. I'm going to put out a study that says 100% of people who eat beef grow bigger muscles. I mean, we're growing muscles all the time.
I mean, yeah, you could do that if you have a sampling of people and they all just happen to be bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm.
And from the beginning to the end, you see massive growths in their muscle percentage and decreases in their body fat.
Yeah.
And but is it attributed to the beef? No, it's probably just attributed to protein in general and their general diet.
They
and
also
their workout
might be taking
regimen.
Steroids,
yeah.
But they're not going to list that.
Mm-hmm. And stuff like this really does hurt the meat industry.
Yes, it really does. Now, also, you said plants, not all protein is equal. Like the protein you get from a plant is not going to help you build muscles as well as beef protein. Like that's a known fact. There's even a protein powder called carnivore that's made from 100% beef protein. And I used to take it, and that was probably around the time I was in best shape. The problem is it tastes terrible. No matter what they do to try to make that one taste good, vanilla is the closest to being palatable, but no, it's just never any good.
On a semi-related topic, I saw this a few days ago. I think it was around the time we were doing the last podcast, but 25% of the fake meat out there meat substitutes.
Yeah.
They don't even have enough protein in them to be considered a protein source.
Yep.
So even on when people try to substitute things for meat, usually they don't even have as much protein. So it's hard to get all of your protein you need without actually having meat.
Yeah. It was funny the other day. I was wearing my Meatristic shirt, my Walton's hat, and I was in the grocery store getting something for my wife, and she likes these pure plant protein. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it. That's like a kielbasa. And I was grabbing it, and I could feel somebody looking at me, and I was just like, looked down and looked away, put it in my cart, and walked on. It does not happen often, but I've been recognized a few times in a grocery store. And that always is like the first thing that runs through my mind. I'm like, what do I have in my cart? Do I have any of my wife's stuff in the cart that they're going to look at and be like, because I mean, there's no reason for me to ever buy like a bratwurst, like a beef or pork bratwurst. We've got more than enough here. I'm not going to order it from there. But like those things, those weird like fringe things that she eats, I can't duplicate that. We tried once. I don't know if you remember this. Lisa and I came in. We made those. It was black beans, chickpeas, and a bunch of other things. And then we stuffed them into the cellulose casings.
Yeah.
I actually really liked them. We didn't get a bind. Like the bind didn't come through strong enough. So they were like super loose.
Yeah.
But from a taste aspect, I thought they were.
You could make Braunschweiger out of it then.
Yeah. We've got that Braunschweiger in there from that Paul guy, but I don't want to eat it. If we do it, we've got to get like bagel chips or something to give it some crunch.
You really don't want to eat that? Like, I'm not a big Braunschweiger fan. I'm not a
big Braunschweiger guy.
But I'm always like at least interested in trying that stuff because it's something that you don't get a lot of anywhere else.
Okay, so we'll come back to that. But is there a single like meat or sausage item that you will not eat? Like just flat out, no.
Probably not because
chitlins.
I don't know. I don't. What is
fried pork intestine?
Yeah, I'd probably do that.
Okay. Head cheese.
Head cheese. Yeah, head Sauce. Cheese is good. Yeah.
Okay.
One time for one of our commercial meat processor open house events that we had here, we had Dr. Jeff Sindelar come in, who at the time was the head of the University of Wisconsin's meat extension department. He is now, he might still be there.
You got me.
I think he's still there. One, Dr. Jeff, he makes the best pepperoni in the world. I've never had pepperoni that's better than his. It's insane.
Wow.
The guy, if he ever wanted to make a living off of getting out of education, he could start up a pepperoni business.
Is it dry cured? How does he do it?
Dry cured.
Yeah. You can't, like, the difference between the pepperoni we make and dry cured pepperoni, you're just not going to get the same.
You don't get the same texture or taste.
Oh.
But okay, so when he came in for our commercial open house, he brought just all kinds of weird, crazy things with him, and everybody got to have a piece and sample it. It was some of the weirdest sausage and meat that I've ever ate in my life, but it was all good in its own way. Some were truly good. Mm-hmm. Some were just kind of okay, but just being able to try all these weird things. I wish I had a list. I might have to go back and see if I can find a list of everything that we tried. And then the other place, and you may have had some of this, one of the classes I took at Iowa State, it was, I want to say his name was Klaus, with Devereaux.
Okay.
I want to say he was some big up top guy. Somehow he's been with him a long time. I don't know if he was somebody originally, I don't know, but he was the right guy to be with Devereaux.
Okay.
I mean, he knew all kinds of craziness about all kinds of casings, all kinds of weird sausages. He's definitely from Europe. He brought a ton of weird, weird European sausages with him. Definitely had head cheese there as well. Head cheese just looks weird to me, but we got to try and sample a bunch of stuff there. And kind of like I said with Dr. Jeff stuff, it was all good in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it I would not eat again.
So,
but just being able to try it all was awesome.
So that for anyone who doesn't know, head cheese is like, it's more minced or chopped up meat stuffed into a casing, and they put some sort of gelatin in there to help bind it all together. Well, what you end up with is large pockets of just clear gelatin and a bunch of like chopped up meat. So it can be, it, I would say it's an acquired taste. It's not something that I would ever run to the grocery store and grab some head cheese.
Yeah. But I don't know. Can you even get it at a grocery store? Yeah,
probably not. So the other thing that kind of, nah, I'm not saying that I'm against plant-based diets because I'm not at all. But with all these fake meats that are coming out, one of the awesome things is Americans' meat consumption continues to go up.
Yeah.
So we're like, yeah, no, you can keep your little hippy-dippy foods. I'm going to eat a cow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, like you said, I mean, I don't have a problem if somebody wants to be a vegetarian, whatever, or a vegan or a carnivore only. My biggest thing comes back to, can we just let everybody do what is best for them?
Yes.
As long as you're not hurting someone else.
And I also want them to be honest and fully informed about their decisions.
Yeah.
Saying you're doing it for the betterment of environment or because, you know, you don't want to kill animals. Sorry, neither of those things are necessarily true. I mean, monocropping is a problem. There's a reason buzzards follow those combines as they go through fields. It's because they're killing tons of bunnies and, you know, little animals like that.
It would break my son's heart.
Oh.
He's obsessed with bunnies right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Bunnies aren't that nice. No. They're really not that nice.
This is tangenting again.
Sure, but awesome.
Next time he's in here, I'll see if I can get him to do it for you. But ask him what sound a bunny makes.
What did he do?
I've tried to teach him, and he sometimes does it, to basically just make a screeching noise. Because
that's accurate.
That's, yeah, what bunnies do. Huh? But it's funny. You can teach a kid all kinds of fun stuff that, yeah. So continue, sorry.
My dog can give either paw. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So I'm teaching my kids things too. all right, so let's talk about what's coming up. We are right now, before and after this podcast, working on a couple of updates to MeatGistics. So the one that I think is going to help at least me the most is we will have a new system in place eventually. And NodeBB, who is hosts MeatGistics, we contacted them. They did not have this, so they had to custom write it for us. It was, it cost some money, but in my mind, very well spent. So what it's going to be able to do is, instead of having to grab the link every time I want to link to a product, we'll maintain a table, and I'll be able to just put special characters before and after that table, or I'm sorry, before and after the name of a product, and it will automatically link to that page on waltonzinc.com. Yeah. It makes it so much easier because there's so many times where I'm like, I should link to this.
Where is it at?
I don't remember. I don't have time. Move on. So it definitely is going to help in that.
I think it'll help even a lot of the users on MeatGistics. Just for...
Oh, no. No, like, we don't let the plebs do this. This is just for me.
Oh, I think the other people...
This is open to everybody?
Yeah. You will have to set up the shortcuts.
Yep.
But like even a link to a conversion chart. So our regular MeatGistics users that know, hey, Walton's has a conversion chart for seasonings and cures and additives. Someone asks, how much sugar gel am I supposed to use for this? They can just type in a couple characters and conversion chart.
Yep.
And it'll automatically put the link in there for it. Yep. So,
which is awesome.
Yeah. It'll make the life of our regular contributors a lot easier as well when they're responding to posts.
I'm so excited. Let me back up. I'm very excited about our plan to reward the MeatGistics users based on their post count.
Have you told anybody about that yet?
We've talked about it. I've not told anyone, even the people who are getting all three, have not told them what it is.
You haven't even told Tex.
Just that there is something coming.
Wow. I can't believe you haven't told Tex.
So we had the first one, which will be at 500, and we had the third one, which will be at 1500. Done. Like, knew exactly what we wanted, had it worked out. The 1000 one, we were trying to figure out a good way to do it that wasn't going to break the bank. Because right now, it's not many people, but MeatGistics is growing like a weed. And eventually, you know, we can't be spending $150 each for all these people.
Yeah.
So I was looking for something that was a reasonable cost. Oh, yeah, you're on the page. So it is that one.
Okay.
So they're all going to be personalized. They are, in my opinion at least, awesome. They're things... I don't know. How are you going to feel if you see people like videos of people using the last one? Are you going to be happy that they're using it? Or is it like a...
Oh, no. Use it. It's not going to go away. You're not going to... Yeah. You're not going to hurt it. Right.
I think you might.
No.
Eventually. Okay. All right. Well, we'll find out. I have no memory of where I was going. Okay. So the other thing that we're doing with Meet Justix that is awesome is we're trying to install this plugin from NodeBB that will allow you to create a topic and mark it as a question. So you'll be like, all right, I need help on yada, yada, yada. Mark it as a question. Then once everyone replies, we can select what we consider the best answer, and that will automatically move it up right underneath that question. So it's going to help so much for people who like search and go back looking for questions that have already been answered. I have recently seen a bunch of questions asked when I know that answer is already out there. I don't know how I feel about this. Did you fix it?
It works.
Oh, awesome.
One of their... just say developers.
No, he was responded. Me. I undid it and redid it.
He responded, well, I think we were in here. And so I just tested it. Yeah, it works.
Awesome. All right. So as soon as I get out of here, I will make a post about that because that is absolutely awesome.
It leaves the post in the original spot too.
Okay.
It just marks it and puts it up at the top. So if it was on page 5 of 20, it's still going to show up there, but you'll see it. Right. Highlighted in green right underneath
right
the question.
Underneath. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. So those are our big upcoming changes. When's this going to be released? Hopefully the new website's coming out soon, but stop asking us.
I've just given up all hope. Oh. And just
so it's your black pill.
When it happens, it happens. At this point, I every time somebody else internally asks me, I'm just like, I don't have anything for you.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I keep complaining about it, but it gets pushed off. But at the same time, like I haven't finished the coupons and everything. So it's like, yeah. We keep saying we're ready to go, but we're not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're going to say, hey guys, okay, we've got the payment processing done. Go ahead and flip it. We're still going to be like, all right, we're going to be here till 9 o'clock tonight.
I still have a couple days of work to finish once it's done. I just don't want to keep working on it until I have everything in there, because otherwise I'm going to have to go through and recheck it all again and spend half the time. So I'm just going to spend all the time once. But
you got anything else?
No, I think that's all.
So podcast recap, amazing beef ribs.
Ribs are really good with Nashville hot and Chipotle lime.
Yep. Then we talked about religion, existence, all sorts of weird things. So sorry for going off there a little bit, guys. But whatever. Hope you enjoyed it. That's how we feel.
Yeah. And if you didn't enjoy it, email us all your negative comments or hopefully your positive ones as well by emailing podcast@waltonsinc.com.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you this, anyone who listens to it and emails podcast@waltonsinc.com, I'll go ahead and send some jerky too. I've got plenty of jerky in there. I've got more jerky I want to.
You might limit to like the first like dozen people.
Okay.
Just in case.
Just in case. First dozen people who email podcast@waltonsinc.com, we will go ahead and send out some jerky too.
Do they have to provide a question or feedback or anything?
Oh, that might do it if you can. If you can't think of anything and you just want to try some jerky, try that. I will say, and I talked about this on the live stream, I did have somebody who I sent some of that to, who's fairly well known, responding saying it was the best jerky they have ever had. They were floored by it. So
very cool.
I'm amazing.
I'm going to have to find a way to deflate your ego a little bit now, won't I?
I have no ego. I know I don't act like that, but I have, like, I am very self-aware. I've, like, people are always like, are you mad about that? No. So. All right. Thanks, guys. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button. If you are listening, it really does help if you go ahead and leave a review, obviously.
Make sure you subscribe and download episodes. If you download the episode, if you're listening on Apple, Google, Stitcher, whatever, that really helps us if you download the episode.
So just listenings aren't as...
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for checking out the Meat Gistics podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltonsinc.com. And to get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatgistics.com. Waltons, everything but the meat.